Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 29, Part 5, Verses 23 through 33. Narada's Purport, Part 1. My dear King Prachinabarhi, the living entity lying down within the body is disturbed by many tribulations pertaining to providence, to other living entities, and to one's own body and mind. And despite all kinds of tribulations, the living entity, subjected to the necessities of the body, mind, and senses, and suffering from various types of disease, is carried away by many plans due to his or her lust to enjoy this material world. Although transcendental to this material existence, the living entity, out of ignorance, accepts all these material miseries under the pretext of false egoism, known as I and mine. In this way, he or she lives for 100 years within this body. The living entity, by nature, has minute independence to choose his or her own good or bad fortune. But when one forgets his or her supreme master, the personality of Godhead, then one gives him or herself up to the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Being thus influenced by the modes of material nature, one identifies him or herself with the body, and for the interest of the body, one becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes one is under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness act piously according to Vedic injunctions, and thus they are elevated to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion engage in various types of productive activities in the planetary systems where human beings live. Similarly, those influenced by the mode of darkness are subjected to various types of misery, and they live in the animal kingdom. Covered by the mode of ignorance in material nature, the living entity is sometimes a male, sometimes female, sometimes a eunuch, sometimes a human being, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a bird, an animal, and so on. In this way, one is simply wandering within this material world. One's acceptance of different types of bodies is brought about by his or her activities under the influence of the modes of nature. The living entity is exactly like a dog who, overcome with hunger, goes from door to door just for some food. According to one's destiny, he or she sometimes receives punishment and is driven out, and at other times receives a little food to eat. Similarly, the living entity, being influenced by so many desires, wanders in different species of life according to destiny. Sometimes one is high, and sometimes one is low. Sometimes one goes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to hell, sometimes to the middle planets, and so on. The living entities are trying to counteract different miserable conditions pertaining to providence, other living entities, or one's body and mind. Still, they must remain conditioned by the laws of material nature, despite all attempts to counter these laws. It is just like this. A man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it to be too heavy, he sometimes gives relief to his head by putting the burden on his shoulder. And in this way, he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. Jaya Govinda, Jaya Gopala, Keshava Madhava Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Shyama Sundara Kanaya Lal, Girivaradhari Nanda Dulal, Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal, Nanda Dulal, Prabhu Nanda Dulal, Achyuta Keshava Sri Radha Madhava Govinda Gopala Hari, Achyuta Keshava Sri Radha Vallabha Govinda Gopala Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. In the Vedas it is stated, Asangoyam Purushaha, the living entity is actually separate from material existence, for the soul is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the living entity is the superior energy and that the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and so on, are the inferior energy. The material elements are also described as bhinna, or separated energy. However, when the internal or superior energy comes into contact with the external energy, it is subjected to so many tribulations. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukha da. Because of the material body, the living entity is subjected to many tribulations brought about by air, water, fire, extreme heat, extreme cold, sunshine, excessive eating, unhealthy food, maladjustments of the three elements of the body, namely kapha, pitta, and vayu, and so on. The intestines, the throat, the brain, and the other parts of the body are also affected by all kinds of diseases that are so powerful that they become sources of extreme suffering for the living entity. The living entity, however, is different from all these material elements. The two types of fever described herein can be explained in contemporary language as pneumonia and typhoid. When there is an extreme fever in the body, there is typhoid and pneumonia, and they are described here as prajvara. There are also other miseries created by other living entities. The state exacts taxes, and there are also many thieves, rogues, and cheaters. Miseries brought about by other living entities are called adhibhautaka. There are also miseries in the form of famine, pestilence, scarcity, war, earthquakes, and so on. These are caused by the demigods or other sources beyond our control. Actually, there are many enemies of the living entities, and these are all described to point out just how miserable this material existence actually is. Knowing the basic misery of material existence, one should be induced to get out of the material clutches and return home back to Godhead. Actually, the living entity is not at all happy in this material body. Because of the body, one suffers thirst and hunger and is influenced by the mind, by words, by anger, by the belly, by the genitals, by the rectum, and so on. Manyfold miseries encircle the transcendental living entity simply because he or she desires to satisfy one's senses in this material world. So if one simply withdraws from activities of sense gratification and applies his or her senses in the service of the Lord, then all the problems of material existence will immediately diminish, and with the advancement of Krishna consciousness, one will be freed from all tribulation, and after giving up the body, one will return home back to Godhead. All different types of bodies are explained by Krishna in chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanang Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. The living entity in material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. And this is due to one's association with that material nature. And thus, one meets with good and evil among various species of life. Because of associating with the modes of nature, the living entity gets a variety of bodies from the 8,400,000 different forms. It is clearly explained herein that the living entity has a little independence, indicated by the word swadrik, meaning one who can see his or her own welfare. The living entity's constitutional position is very minute, and he or she can be misled in one's choice. One may choose to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A servant may desire to start his own business and imitate his master, and when he chooses to do so, he may leave the protection of his master. Sometimes he is a failure, and sometimes he is successful. So similarly, the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, starts one's own business to compete with the Lord. There are many competitors out to attain the Lord's position. But to become like the Lord is simply not at all possible. Thus, there is a great struggle for existence within this material world as different parties try to imitate the Lord. Material bondage is caused by deviation from the service of the Lord and attempts to imitate Krishna. Krishna is imitated by Mayavadi philosophers who try to become one with the Lord in an artificial way. When the Mayavadi philosophers think of themselves as liberated, they are under the delusion of mental concoction. For no one can become one with or equal to God. And to imagine this is to continue one's bondage in material existence. There are three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. Those influenced by the mode of goodness are given places in the upper planetary systems, such as Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, and Maharloka. Those influenced by the mode of passion are given places in the Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance are given places in Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, or the animal kingdom. Qualitatively, the living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of one's forgetfulness, one gets different bodies in different planetary systems. At the present moment, human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion, and consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes such activities in the 16th chapter as ugra karma, that is, distressful activities. Those who utilize the energies of the worker are called capitalists, and those who actually perform the work are called laborers. In actuality, they are both capitalists, and the workers are in the mode of passion and ignorance. The result is that there is always a distressful situation. In contrast to these men are those influenced by the mode of goodness, the karmis and gyanis. The karmis, under the direction of Vedic instructions, try to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. The gyanis try to merge into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord. In this way, all classes of living entities in various species of life are existing within this material world. This explains superior and inferior life forms within the material world. Actually, the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. Therefore, he or she is spiritual in quality. The living entity is never material, and one's material conception is simply a mistake due to forgetfulness. Actually, one is as brilliant as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both the sun and the sunshine are very brilliant. The Lord is like the full shining sun, and the living entities are like the small particles of that sun, which constitute the all-pervasive sunshine. when these small particles are covered by the cloud of Maya, they lose their shining capacity. But when the cloud of Maya is gone, these particles once again become brilliant and shining. As soon as the living entity is covered by the ignorance of Maya, or darkness, he or she cannot understand one's relationship with the Supreme Godhead. Somehow or other, if one comes before the Lord, one can see oneself as shining as the Supreme Lord, although he or she is not as extensive as the Lord. Because the living entity desires to imitate the Supreme Lord, one is covered by Maya. We cannot imitate the Lord, nor can we become the Supreme Enjoyer. This is not possible. And when we think it is, we become conditioned by Maya. Thus, the engagement of the living entity under the clutches of Maya is brought about by forgetfulness of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Under the influence of Maya, the living entity becomes exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. Such a person speaks all kinds of nonsense. When the living entity is covered by the influence of Maya, one becomes a so-called scientist, philosopher, politician, or socialist, and at every moment presents different plans for the benefit of human society. All these plans are ultimately failures because they are all illusory. In this way, the living entity forgets his or her position as eternal servant of the Lord. He or she instead becomes the servant of Maya. In any case, one remains a servant. It is simply one's own misfortune that by forgetting his or her real contact with the Supreme Lord, one becomes a servant of Maya. And as servant of Maya, one sometimes becomes a king, sometimes an ordinary citizen, sometimes a brahmana, a shudra, and so on. Sometimes one is happy, sometimes prosperous, sometimes a small insect, sometimes one is in heaven, and sometimes in hell. Sometimes one is a demigod, and sometimes one is a demon. Sometimes one is a servant, and sometimes one is a master. In this way, the living entity wanders all over the universe. So, only when one comes into contact with the bona fide spiritual master can he or she understand one's real constitutional position. One then becomes disgusted with material existence. And at that time, in full Krishna consciousness, he or she regrets one's past experiences in material existence. This regret is very beneficial because it purifies the living entity of material conditional life. One then prays to the Lord to become engaged in his service, and at that time, Krishna grants liberation from the clutches of Maya. Lord Sri Krishna explains this in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Daivi hi esha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya mam evaye prabhadyante mayam etang tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me, Krishna, can easily cross beyond it, my dear Arjuna. Only by the grace of Krishna can one get out of the clutches of Maya. It is not possible to get out by mental speculation or other activities. So when the living entity understands his or her real position by the grace of Krishna, one keeps him or herself always fit in Krishna consciousness and acts accordingly. Thus, one gradually becomes completely free from the clutches of Maya. When one is strong in Krishna consciousness, Maya cannot touch one. In this way, in the association of Krishna conscious devotees, the living entity can get free from the contamination of material existence. In this connection, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Tate Krishna Bhaje Kari Gurura Sevana Maya Jala Chute Pai Krishnara Charana. In the Krishna conscious state, the living entity engages in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master. In this way, he or she gets out of the clutches of Maya and takes shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The living entity's position is herein likened to that of a dog. By chance, a dog may have a very rich owner, or by chance, one may become a street dog. As the dog of a rich man, the dog will live very opulently. Why, sometimes in Western countries, we hear of a master leaving millions of dollars to his dog in the will. Of course, there are many dogs loitering in the street without food. Therefore, to liken the conditional existence of the living entity to that of a dog is very appropriate. An intelligent human being, however, can understand that if one has to live the life of a dog, one had best become Krishna's dog. In the material world, a dog is sometimes elevated and is sometimes on the street. But in the spiritual world, Krishna's dog is perpetually, eternally happy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura Baliya Janaha More. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers to become a Vaishnava's dog. A dog always keeps itself at the master's door and does not allow any person unfavorable to the master to enter. Similarly, one should engage in the service of a Vaishnava and try to please one in every respect. For unless one does so, he or she does not make spiritual advancement. Apart from spiritual advancement, in the material world, if one does not develop his or her qualities in goodness, one cannot be promoted to the higher planetary system. As confirmed by Krishna in chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, Urdvang gacchanti sattva stha madye tishvanti rajasa jaganya guna vritti stha adho gacchanti tamasa. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. There are many varieties of life in the different planetary systems, and these come about due to the living entities developing qualities either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. If one is in goodness, he or she is promoted to the higher systems. If in passion, one remains in the middle systems. And if in ignorance, one is pushed down to the lower species of life. Just as a dog wanders here and there for a piece of bread or punishment, the living entity perpetually wanders about, trying to be happy, planning in so many ways to counteract material misery. This is called the struggle for existence. We can actually see in our daily lives how we are forced to make plans just to drive away miserable conditions. To get rid of one miserable condition, we have to put ourselves in another kind of miserable condition. A poor man suffers for want of money, but if he wants to become rich, he has to struggle in so many ways. Actually, that is not a valid counteracting process, but a snare of the illusory energy. If one does not endeavor to counteract his or her situation, but is satisfied with one's position, knowing that he or she has obtained one's position through past activities, one can instead engage one's energy to develop Krishna consciousness. This is recommended in all Vedic literature, specifically in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narada instructs Vyasadev, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labjate yad brahmatam upari adha tal labjate dukavad anyatak sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira rangasa. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. Now, as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, that can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time, we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. So, one should simply try to develop his or her Krishna consciousness and not waste time trying to improve one's material condition. Actually, the material condition cannot be improved. The process of improvement means accepting another miserable condition. However, if we endeavor to improve our Krishna consciousness, then the distress of material life will disappear without extraneous endeavor. Krishna therefore promises in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya prati janihi na me bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. So, one who takes to the path of devotional service will never be vanquished, despite all miseries of the body and mind, and despite all misery brought about by other living entities and providence, miseries which are beyond our control. So, herein is a good description of an attempt to transfer a burden from one place to another. When one gets tired of keeping a burden on one's head, one will place it on the shoulder. But this does not mean that one has become freed from the strains of carrying the burden. Similarly, human society, in the name of civilization, is creating one kind of trouble just to avoid another kind of trouble. In contemporary civilization, we see that there are many automobiles manufactured just to carry us swiftly from one place to another. But at the same time, we have created other problems. We have to construct so many roads, and yet these roads are insufficient to cope with automobile congestion and traffic jams. And there are also the problems of air pollution and fuel shortage. The conclusion is that the processes we manufacture to counteract or minimize our distresses do not actually put an end to our pains. It is all simply illusion. We simply place the burden from the head to the shoulder. The only real way we can minimize our problems is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give ourselves up to Krishna's protection. Krishna, being all-powerful, can make arrangements to mitigate our painful life in this material existence. Recorded December 19, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Radha Krishna, bol, bol, bol away, shobhai. Radha Krishna, bol, bol, bol away, shobhai. Ei shikha diya, shabna diya, perche neche. Gorani Thai E Shikha Diya Shabna Diya Pirche Neche Gorani Thai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobhai Krishna, bol, bol, bolore shobai. Niche mayar boshe, jacho beshe, kacho abu dububai. Niche mayar boshe, jacho beshe, kacho abu Dubai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobai Krishna Das A Vishwas Kole To Ar Dukho Nai Jeev Krishna Das A Vishwas Kole To Ar Dukho Nai Radha Krishna Bo Bo Bolore Shobai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobai
যাবে ফুলা খাবে ঝরবে আংটি বলি চাই কৃষ্ণ বলবে যাবে ফুলা খাবে ঝরবে আংটি বলি চাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ বলব বলে সবাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ বলব বলে সবাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ বল সঙ্গে চলো এই মাত্র লিখা চাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ বল সঙ্গে চলো এ মাত্র লিখা চাই রাধা কৃষ্ণ বল Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re sobai jai sakal bibod bhakti bino bole japo onam gai jai sakal bibod bhakti bino bole japo Om Gai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Re Shobhai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Re Shobhai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare
Everyone chant Radha Krishna. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai gave this instruction while wandering throughout Nadia. Oh, needlessly you are under the control of Krishna's external energy, Maya, and being carried away by her waves, sometimes you are floating and most times you are sinking. However, if you have this much faith, I am Krishna's eternal servitor, then there will be no more misery. And if you can chant Krishna's holy name, you will shiver in ecstasy and shed tears of joy. So, I am only begging one request from you. Please join us in chanting Krishna's holy name. The author of this song, Thakur Bhaktivinod, says that whenever he chants Krishna's holy name, all dangers go away.